Are you abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on this precious word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear ones, today I'm trying again, and this is the second time, to get you into John's message of abiding in Christ. Recall last week we were on the way, but we got stuck with two very important passages of the first letter of John to the churches. The first one is a passage where the Apostle John talks about people quitting church by saying, I quote, "They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us," unquote. I told you that as Jesus relates in the parable of the wheat and tares, that there are people in many churches who appear to be Christians, but they are not truly born of God. While they are in the church, many true believers are unaware of the mask that these people are wearing, and only at harvest time will it be revealed that they only have been pretenders. A tare is a weed that looks like wheat, but at the time of harvest, the distinction between wheat and tare becomes clear. So Jesus said, don't separate, don't uproot the tare, lest you root up the wheat also. Wait till harvest time, and then God will bring about the separation. So let us not set ourselves up as judges, and let us not try to separate the wheat from the tare in our churches. This is surely God's business, because if you do so, it is very likely you're going to lose some of the weaker ones of God's precious kingdom in the uprooting process by the turmoil that ensues. So that is the meaning of John's words. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, but although the final separation of the wheat from the tares will occur on Judgment Day, often there will be an initial separation of the wheat from the tare in our churches. The second passage I related to on the way to abiding in Christ was saying that we have an unction of the Holy Spirit, an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we know all things. And I said to you that John does not mean here that you knew all things pertaining to science and literature and history, etc. But we know all things we need to know at the moment as the Lord Jesus guides us by His precious Holy Spirit, because the Lord said He, that is the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. So we still need to learn, and you will never, never come to the point where you know it all, because once you do, then you would be like God Himself. Only He truly knoweth all things. But as we follow Jesus, we will always know what we need to know. And sometimes knowing what we need to know is simply just reading more in our Bibles or asking our pastor. Now, are we ready for the message on abiding in Christ? The word abiding and its derivatives appears 9 times in the first epistle of John. I'm going to read to you some of these passages because, basically speaking, what John does in his epistle is what we heard Jesus say in the parable of the vineyard in John 15. So let me read from there first. Quote, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will." Unquote. So in the parable of the vine and the branches in John 15, Jesus gives us one of the most important doctrines in the New Testament, that Christianity is abiding in Christ. And it is only as we abide in Him that we shall live forever. On the other hand, if we cease to abide in him, he will cease to abide in us, and we shall be cut off as useless branches of the vine and be cast into the fire. John picks up this great theme and expounds on it in his first epistle, which we have before us. Like I said, in the second and third chapter of this great epistle, he makes 9 references to the word abiding. Let me read some of them to you. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." In other words, we cannot abide in the light, and Jesus is a light. We cannot abide in the light of Jesus. We cannot abide in the truth and the divine light if we don't love our brothers. It does not say if we don't love our brothers who are agreeable to us. It does not say here if we love our brothers who are pleasing us or who are supportive of us. But it says we do not abide in light if we don't love all our brothers. That's the implication. We need to love all our brothers, all those who are born of God. Now let me take you to the next passage of the word abiding, and that is in verse 14 of this passage. And let me read to you the second half, where John says, "I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. There is not any way by which you or I have any spiritual power to overcome the wicked one, the satanic attacks and the temptations, my friend, of the devil. There's no way we can overcome and live a holy, a pure life except we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible to live a victorious Christian life without us abiding in our Lord and him abiding in us." The third passage is in verse 17 here, that we have also the doctrine of eternal security. And that is where John says, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Some people who have been listening to me for a while wonder whether I believe in eternal security. And indeed, yes, I do. Our eternal security is in abiding in the will of God. John says, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Let's go to the next abiding passage, which tells us of the importance of continuing in the abiding. That gets me to the Greek word for the English word abiding, and that is meno. And meno, as I looked it up in the Greek-English dictionary, means to stay. It means to stay in a given place, in a given state, in a given relationship, or in a given experience. It means to continue, to endure, and to remain. So in verse 24 it says, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Now this stresses the utter importance of us in continuing in the abiding. Abiding does not mean an up and down and in and out relationship, but it means a staying, a settling down in it. And if we do that, then indeed we shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now let me take you to the fourth passage on abiding from the third chapter of 1 John, and that is in verse 6. John says, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him." I don't know whether this is preached very much, but I doubt it. Whoever abideth in him, that is in Jesus, sinneth not. But let me ask you, my friend, how often have you heard somebody say, "Well, I'm saved, but I'm still sinning. I'm sinning every day." Does this harmonize with what John the Apostle says in this letter here? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. You cannot possibly abide in Jesus, in his life, in his holiness, and have him abide in you and keep sinning. It just cannot be done. No more than an object can be all black and all white at the same time. It's impossible. Abiding in Jesus and sinning don't go together. If you abide in Jesus, in his life, in his beauty, in his holiness, his love, you detest sin, even as Jesus did and does. The fifth passage on abiding is in verse 14. Now we're in the abiding section of 1 John, aren't we? In chapter 3:14, it says, "We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." As you notice, this passage links us up to the previous one I covered earlier, which says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in light." And here now we have it stated in the opposite way by saying, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." So whether we abide in Jesus can be determined by this one fact alone, by whether we love our brothers. And I mean all our brothers. If we do love them, we abide in the light. If we don't love all our brothers, we abide in death. The last passage on abiding is in verse 24 of chapter 3. And this is really the great capstone of John in his abiding theology. It says, quote, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us," unquote. Oh, I love this passage. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Bible, and this is what it says. "All who keep his commandments, who obey his orders and follow his plan, live and continue to live, to stay and abide in him and he in them, they let Christ be a home to them, and they are the home of Christ. And by this we know and understand and have the proof that he really lives and makes his home in us by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." Isn't this beautiful? This, my friend, is the essence of Christianity, abiding in Christ. And as you may know, I just finished writing a devotional book, and it is called Abiding in Christ, the Essence of Christianity. And you see, that's what it's all about. Now, finally, getting back to the text here, John tells us how we can come to an abiding life in Christ to partake continually of his wonderful life, and it is by keeping his commandments, by obeying his orders and following his plans. This is exactly what the Amplified Bible says. I quote, "All who keep his commandments, who obey his orders and follow his plans, live and continue to live, to stay and abide in him," unquote. So, friend, how long does it take for you to come to this life of intimate fellowship with Jesus from where you are? I say as long as it takes for you to decide to obey Jesus every way as he directs you through his word and through his precious Holy Spirit.
My new website is joyfulabiding.com. Again, it is www.joyfulabiding.com. On my website, you will also find this radio program, and you may listen to this radio program at any time, which is a wonderful convenience. My autobiography, entitled I Am Love, a 366-day devotional entitled Abiding in Christ, and commentaries on the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments are books that will feed and challenge your soul. Again, please remember to make a visit to my website, joyfulabiding.com. Please tune in again next week at the same time over this same station. I am Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.